We made this.
Pick a disc. Best of 2019. Number 1.
Anxiety League by Teen Girl Scientist Monthly. Anxiety League is a game you play. Under an odd moon, gather all your gnawing troubles and break them into teams. Each plays the others once, top 8 going to the playoffs, best out of 5 series. The anxiety that wins gets a crown and scepter to rule over all it sees. This is Anxiety League. New York six-piece band Teen Girl Scientist Monthly describe themselves as the product of a torrid love affair between Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah and Rah Rah Riot. Consisting of Matt Berger, Melissa Lusk, Megan Lynch, Dal Muhlenberg, Pete Scalzitti and Eric Tate, they form perfectly crafted indie pop records that are just plain damn fun. In the Tellison episode of the podcast, I explain about albums that I call the Wages of Fear albums, named after the album of the same name from that same episode. What this meant is that they end up having a status of being the latest album that I've listened to that I class as one of my all-time favourites of, well, all time. Teen Girl Scientist Monthly's second album, Hypertrophy, still holds the title of being my current Wages of Fear. It's held this title since around January 2017, knocking Blood Relatives Dear Heart from that pedestal. I listened to it, and I immediately fell in love with it. I won't talk about Hypertrophy too much on this edition of the podcast because I might ramble on. It will be a Matt pick in a future episode, and then what episode that might be, I haven't decided yet. So, you've got that to look forward to. I mentioned in the Girly episode that she might be the artist with the most like favourite things in music in one project. TGSM might be one of my favourite examples of my favourite genre, which is indie pop. Anxiety League features songs that explore the idea of anxiety, but also feel as they explore bigger things that Chief Songwriter Berger has on his mind. Biggie is that Parenthood is their big influence on this album. The announcement of Lebranxy was in the album notes for Hypertrophy, so it makes sense that it'll appear on this album. There's a lot of room for interpretation with some of the lyrics as well. There's exploration of relationships, friendships, growing older, mental health, life in a band, and the political landscape of the world all wrapped up in these songs. Throughout the album, there's just so much here that plays on my favourite things about music. There's gang vocals aplenty, the shouty outbits that scream to be experienced live. There's jolly upbeat melodies where the lyrics conflict with a happy tone, and there's a mix of vocalists, which means things don't rest on their laurels too much. Wizard Daughter starts off slow and sedate, but then builds up to a great finale that works as a great opener to the album, and then the flow of the album just then takes hold. Single, Eternal Slumber Party is frankly a bob along whilst driving to work to song that may or may not have given me strange looks from other drivers when I've been stuck in traffic. So, yeah, I got no apologies for doing that.
Hi, Matt. Paul and Tim here from We Buy Records.
Hi, Matt.
You've asked us to let you know what our favourite album of 2019 is. Well, for me, a couple of years ago, I was kind of accidentally in Vienna with nothing to do midweek. Went for a wander.
Sounds awful, Paul.
It does sound awful. And then I found this place called the Viper Room, which had a synth pop night, which I thought, oh, that looks like it could be fun. Ended up in a dungeon somewhere in Vienna. There's two completely mental support acts. One was like a monk who didn't say anything and was just playing these weird noises and bleeps and stuff. And then the main act came on, three guys in tinfoil suits with this completely, I think they call it shred wave, but we would still call it synth wave stuff. All very 80s. They had CRT monitors still on the stage. Yes. They wheeled out what I didn't know was a local celebrity cabaret singer to do vocals for them. Then they brought out another guy who's from a heavy metal band that everyone seemed to know. I didn't have a clue who he was. It was mind-blowing. It was one of the best live performances I've ever seen. The whole place was just going absolutely nuts for these guys. Anyway, they're called Power Nerd. They're back, and they've got a new album out this year called Far From Human. This is how much I like Power Nerd. It's not even available on vinyl, Tim.
Well, so presumably you haven't listened to it.
Spotify. I know.
Wow.
It's just three guys. I mean, they're not signed to a major label or anything. It is on Laserdisc Records. Of course it is.
Do they like retro things, do you think, Paul? Do you get the sense?
All of the covers are that blue and pink neon.
Yeah,
for pretty much all the artists. I hate to say that's sort of a bit dumb, but yeah, and I don't think this one's any exception either.
I mean, it's even arguably that you can barely find any examples of that aesthetic from the actual 80s. All of those examples are done now.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Mm. That whole synthwave thing, it seemed to always pick that same aesthetic, but
it didn't quite.
It's something to do with Outrun. They always seem to be obsessed with Outrun.
Outrun was good, and the music was very good on Outrun, so fair enough. My album of the year is, it's a slightly sadder story, Paul. Don't sing the Our Tune music over it, please. But
okay.
Purple Mountains by Purple Mountains, which was the follow-up project from the Silver Jews, a very talented musician and poet, David Berman. I can see Paul's face. He wants to do the Our Tune music.
Go on, keep going.
He put out an album after a 10-year hiatus earlier this year, and it's fantastic, incredibly funny, sad, evocative, heartfelt, kind of Americana country rock, American indie rock, there's a little bit of boogie woogie in there, Paul, but don't hold that against him. And I was playing it in the shop a lot when we got it. I run a record shop, by the way. A guy came in the shop and said, this is good, what's this, this is familiar. And I said, it's the new thing from the guy from the Silver Jews, Purple Mountains, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, really good. Great, anyway, bye. He comes in the next day, he goes, it's so funny, isn't it, he says. I said, what's funny? Well, it's funny. Remember yesterday you were playing that thing? Well, he's dead now, isn't he?
Oh, dear.
I said, what? What? I said, yeah, the bloke, he's dead. Oh. So I got my phone out and Googled it, and yep, he had unfortunately taken his own life in between me playing the record and the guy coming back in. So that's how I found out that David Berman, one of my musical heroes, was no longer with us. So, yeah, there's pitfalls sometimes to running a record shop.
On the bright side, my lot's still alive, so we can go and see them.
Jumping ahead in the album, I want to mention Gem Heart, which sees Melissa Lusk take centre stage and leads on to a lovely feeling of twee happiness, with lyrics that suggest that it might not be as happy as the music suggests it's about, as it's about a serious discussion about a future relationship and all sorts of other things that I might waste too much time delving into just on the one song. Roadside Shrine begins as a more subdued song before it builds up to a great sing-along chorus that's to die for. Then it builds in a great synth solo. Then it builds up to one of the best earworms on the whole album with its repeated refrain of "We got t-shirts and keychains. We 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 got, we got, we got, we got." Sorry. It ends with the grand finale of Look Like the Sun, which ventures back towards the seriousness, but then is a fitting end to an album that has its foundation in exploration of anxiety. I knew I was going to like this album when the band announced it. What I didn't know was whether it was going to be my favourite album of the year, but it is, because it had a decent shot of being it, and yeah. What I didn't know when the band announced, I knew I was going to like this when the band announced it. But what I wasn't going to be aware of was whether it was going to be my favourite album of the year. It was following from Hypertrophy, which I still hold in high regard as a really good album. But then you know how you can sometimes self-hype someone on a pedestal in your own mind in terms of music, even though you try not to. And I knew it probably wouldn't be as good as Hypertrophy, but it ended up being one of my favourite albums of the year anyway. I don't know if I like it as much as Hypertrophy, but I still really, really like this album. It's really good, and it is my favourite album of this year. Before we end, it would be remiss of me not to mention and recommend the podcast Fall of the House of Sunshine, which Berger co-created and stars in alongside Lusk as the announcer and a few bit parts, I believe. It's a musical comedy that is, for lack of a better word, absolutely crazy. I would like to describe it, but there is so much about that podcast which comes as a surprise, and it would ruin a lot of the comedy in it if I explained any aspect of it at all. It is absolutely crazy, and that's not being subdued. It is bonkers. It is bonkers and great. I love bonkers. But before you dig into that, all I can say is you just give Anxiety Leak a good go. You've been listening to Pick a Disc, and I've been your host, Matthew Labour. Our theme music is Pump by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com. Pick a Disc is hosted by the We Made This Podcast Network, and you can find them on www.spreaker.com/user/WeMadeThis. You can find the Pick a Disc show site on www.spreaker.com/show/pickadisc. You can find us on all the usual social media type places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter under Pick a Disc. You can also email us on pickadisc@gmail.com. Until next time, happy listening to all those discs that you are picking. Goodbye.